You are listening to an edited version of Get Radio's Business Brunch, which airs every Sunday at 11 a.m. on DAB Digital Radio across Oxfordshire and online at getradio.co.uk. For copyright reasons, we cannot play the songs mentioned in the show. But for more info and Business Brunch related content, head over to getradio.co.uk.
Get Radio's Business Brunch with Ben Thompson, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. The friendly, no-pressure networking group for Oxfordshire's business people. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Good morning, this is Get Radio and welcome to The Business Brunch with me, Ben Thompson, owner of Thompson & Terry Recruitment. Every week I feel super fortunate to be able to share stories, expertise and knowledge of business leaders here in Oxfordshire, the absolute experts, with you, the listener, and this week is going to be no different. On today's show, we're going to be talking about using technology. And to do that, we're joined by three really wonderful businesses, which is James Craddock from Get Support IT Services, Jake Holmes of Grow Fast, and Andy Holt of OSX. This is the Business Brunch. We look forward to introducing our three experts after this. Get Radio. Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. If you are just tuning in, this week we're talking all about using technology. So we're going to be giving three very different perspectives and give you, the listeners, some things to think about. So let's start by introducing our three experts. James, let's start with you. For those who don't know you and or Get Support IT Services, introduce yourself.
Hi, Ben. So I'm James Craddock, and I'm one of the, I am the founder of Get Support IT Services. We deliver rock solid IT solutions to small businesses. So that's everything from one person starting out at home through to a team of around 400 people. We focus on putting the right IT strategy in place that aligns with our customers' business plans so we can help them hit their goals by putting the right IT in there to support them. Cybersecurity is, of course, central to what we do. And we offer all the services you'd expect: break fix, proactive support, Microsoft 365 and other cloud and on-premise solutions, backup and disaster recovery, and fast internet. The other thing I do is I'm one of the co-founders of Get Radio, but I think that's probably for another episode.
Sounds good. Next up, Jake, introduce yourself and indeed Grow Fast.
Hi, I'm Jake Holmes. I run an AI consultancy where we partner with businesses to cut through the noise of AI and advise them on their systems and AI implementation. The main reason that I started the consultancy was actually because most businesses have no idea where they're going to get the maximum value with AI and what they shouldn't waste their money on. And that's where I come in.
Amazing. And last but definitely not least, Andy.
Good morning, all. I'm Andy. My company is OSX. We build bespoke software solutions for our clients. So we sell the software you can't buy off the shelf. I spend an awful lot of my time visiting senior people in companies of all sizes, listening to the woes that they have with their software as a service subscriptions and the many different platforms they use every day. We take a note of the workflows that aren't working for them, and we build them a bespoke piece of software which seamlessly joins up their business with the workflows that they want to use rather than the ones that they have to use. So we build bespoke online software.
Amazing, amazing. Andy, I am going to stay with you because, as with James and Jake later in the show, you have kindly chosen a song for our listeners this morning. What's your song choice and why have you picked it?
I've chosen Aretha Franklin, Dr. Feelgood. I've gone old school. It's beautiful. It's the engineering on it, the vocals on it, the Hammond organ on it, the blue, you know, the blues chord progression on it. Genius. She's the queen of soul, I think, and Motown. I love Aretha.
Oxfordshire Station, Get Radio.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following that great song chosen by Andy, an introduction from Andy, James and Jake, we've heard about three great tech businesses in here in Oxfordshire. And today we're really talking about how you can think about technology as the Oxfordshire business and things to potentially consider. So James, I'm going to start with you, if that's okay. And Of course, part of what you do in a business is hardware. Most businesses will have a computer, won't they? Most will. With that in mind, how do you get the hardware infrastructure in place in the first instance? What are some of the things to consider for a small business, or indeed a growing or an established business?
There's lots of things to look at, and it's about making sure you get the right hardware. And when I say the right hardware, it's got to be powerful enough for what you need it to do. It's really important that you invest the right amount of money. So always buying the cheapest thing off the shelf isn't necessarily going to deliver. You need to make sure that it's going to last the time that you need it to last. You need to make sure that it has the right software. So in today's day and age, we're talking about a laptop or a portable device or even a desktop. You want to make sure that the software is going to support the required encryption to make sure that you keep your data safe. And then it's a case of making sure that you get a machine that delivers what you need it to deliver at the speed you expect it to for a price that you can afford. Now, I'm a massive fan of making sure that you spend the right amount of money on the hardware, because if you have a team member sat in front of a machine and they're waiting for it, that's costing you a fortune as time goes on, because the cost of employing someone is a lot higher than getting the right kit to do the job.
Really interesting. And Andy, I know that you've delivered some amazing solutions for relatively big businesses who have a lot of people. How do you balance technology and, I guess, automation and process with people? What is that process to look at? And what are some of the things our listeners could think about there?
Yeah, that's a great question, because a lot of reasons given by team members as the reason they don't engage with software is the fact that they don't feel that it's tailored to them, and they don't feel that it's using the language that they use, and it's not giving them the processes in the way that they would do it if it were laid out before them in paper, you know, on their notepad. And so we balance the need for the use of technology with people by allowing them in the process of the build and the spec writing process to tell us exactly what language they want to use, exactly what they want the buttons to say, exactly what they want to do next after the process that they're doing now. And they feel like they have ownership of it. When we introduce a new piece of software to a client, more often than not, they actually recognize it almost immediately as being that their world that they described. And that's how I think we get people engaged with software in the most effective manner, and that is that it's recognizable and they feel like they're part of it, really.
And Jake, bringing this conversation onto you, still staying with people versus technology. I think that we've all seen that ChatGPT took the world by storm, didn't it? But that's just one part of AI. What are some of the things to consider whether to implement AI or use AI? And where can you replace people with AI and where can't you?
I would really start by looking at where people in your business provide the most value. So in recruitment, in your business, Ben, you know, the people are speaking to other people, making those connections and connecting the candidates with the business and kind of looking at that whole process. Whereas behind the scenes, you know, writing up notes, doing all of these other admin tasks that the client or the person doing the job doesn't necessarily care about, but they have to do, that's a great place to start, because your client's not going to know any different and you're going to be able to provide a higher level of service by using automation and AI and all of these other bespoke tools that maybe Andy builds as well.
No, really, really interesting. And James, from you spoke before about cybersecurity and touch on data protection. From a rock solid IT point of view, what do you need to consider there when you're using new technologies and when you're bringing people in? Because of course we all know the biggest cause of cyber attacks are humans. What are some of the things to consider there?
That's a very wide ranging question. I'll go to the cybersecurity in a moment. When we're bringing in new technology like AI, there's a whole area of thought that needs to go into it. You need to have the right policies in place and understand what's happening to your data, where it's going, and maybe who has access to it, and is it are the platforms you're using, do they have the right safeguards in place to protect your data? And then moving on to GDPR, etc. And we work very closely with Regina at Data Basics, which is one of our subsidiaries, to look at safeguarding data going into AI and new technology. And from a cybersecurity point of view, there's all sorts of software we can use, some of which uses machine learning and AI to spot various things that look malicious, look like they're threats, and stop them in their tracks before maybe a database knows about them. But you've also got the sort of user in front of the machine as well, and making sure that you have the right user awareness training in place goes a very long way to keeping your users, your computers, your systems, and your data safe and secure.
Amazing, amazing. And Andy, I think that one of the things that is very easy to do in business when you set up is buy lots of software, isn't it? Or I'll just have that $4.99 a month. I'll just have that $9.99 a month. And before you know it, you've got 60 different software systems. If startups are listening or people that are considering setting up their business, what would be your advice at that very early stage in terms of the decision-making process of the software you need and when to buy software and when not to?
Oh, well, there are people out there that advise on SaaS purchases, software as a service purchases. The most sensible thing you could do, I think, in order to choose the icons that reside on your desktop that you use every day, would be to map out actually in analog form what processes we need to achieve here. If something's coming in at this end and it needs to leave us after 17 steps and go out looking like that, what can HubSpot do that? Could Salesforce do that? Could I do that within the Microsoft 365 world? You know, are there other things we could use that are off the shelf? The problem is that compromise has to play a part in every single one of those things, which is, to your other point, why people end up with so many different things in the morning they can log into and do a little bit of the process on. I actually think that Jake's offer of the AI piece is useful to be speaking to Jake at a very early stage in your business if you're starting up, because there's probably you don't need as many staff as you think you do, maybe. There's probably a lot of automation in terms of process that he could put in place. People just plug holes with loads of software as a service. So you've got to map out what you want to achieve first, and then you've got to stick to the map, and you've got to find the way that works. HubSpot might be the answer, but unfortunately for HubSpot, most of my job is taking people off of HubSpot and getting them to do something that works for them specifically. HubSpot is an incredibly complex and brilliant piece of kit. It's very, very difficult to make your own.
Amazing. Amazing. No, really, really good insight. Jake, what's your take on that? Because I think Andy very much cleverly brought you in there, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. I think, you know, as well as like medium-sized and larger organizations as well, in the SaaS tools that they already have, like these systems that you already use in your business, they've gotten quite clever about adding an AI element onto that piece of software that you probably don't need, but because everyone's talking about AI, you think you need it, and it's just a shiny golden nugget that you think you're going to get these extra benefits from, whereas actually it's just distracting you from actually running and being in your business and making more revenue, and instead you're getting distracted by AI additions on the 10 bits of software that each cost $50 a month. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, you've racked up another bill that's $500. It's very easy to get distracted, and there's so many tools out there now that promise AI will solve your problems, and it's quite a foggy, cloudy mess of tooling out there. So you have to be quite careful.
No, absolutely. Jake, I'm going to now give you a chance to see if you've got as good song taste as our good friend Andy. What's your song and why have you picked it?
I like to play This Will Be by Natalie Cole. It was one of the songs at my wedding, so it's got some really great memories for me.
This is the Business Brunch Podcast from Get Radio. Sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Discover our membership packages to help you grow your business at obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. Following, again, that very personal song choice chosen by Jake, we've been speaking with our three experts, James, Andy and Jake, about systems you can use in your business and technology and where to use it and where not to. And I think the thing that these three great experts have in common is they're incredibly honest and they give you really good advice. James, I'm keen to bring the conversation over to you now, because I know that you use a huge amount of technology, both personally and across your businesses. Similar to, I guess, the question that we asked to Andy and Jake, how do you decide where to use technology, where to use people, where to, I guess, how to test technology and where to upgrade and, you know, use somebody great like Andy and create something bespoke to yourself?
Wow. Okay. So with all the new tech that I'm testing, I'm using all sorts of AI at the moment in my workflow, from the large language models like OpenAI and ChatGPT through to potentially more exciting things like video generation and audio generation, even music. I think there's a lot of stuff out there, and obviously being the sort of person I am and being invested in technology, I'm doing a huge amount of research. I think that making sure that you look at the way your business works and find the right AI technology to use safely within your business, it's important to get started now, because while there's two angles to this. First of all, we've got to keep the data safe and we've got to do it safely. If we don't get the right systems in place, and whether that's using something like ChatGPT or potentially the safer version, which might be Microsoft Copilot, depending on your use cases, or going in and integrating something a bit more custom, if we don't start looking at that now, the world is going to change with technology at a pace that is unimaginable over the next 18 months. It's super exciting, and it doesn't mean at all that we're not going to need humans anymore. It just means that with the right tools in place, we can streamline systems and processes, we can deliver more faster and potentially better, but it depends on the business, and it's always worth talking through these things with someone technical who understands the new technology.
Absolutely. And Jake, what's your take there?
I think for businesses as well, like, it's such an exciting space where not only can you fix most of the systems and processes that are kind of broken and make them a lot more efficient than they are today, but also, like, what are the extra revenue streams that you can bring in from using AI and creating different tooling and systems that you can sell onto other businesses that you can attach onto your business as like a kind of new entity? I think there's so many fascinating businesses out there that are trying to create a new angle that they haven't been able to kind of get at before, but they've got such good market share at the moment that it's very easy for them to distribute a new tool out into the market. So I think it's also an exciting place for that as well.
I know, really interesting. And Andy, I think that comes nicely on to you, because I know that within a lot of sectors, there are things that are just really important that happen. So, you know, if we were to talk about accountancy as a really great example, absolutely, you must get your VAT returns in, you must get your personal tax. And there's a lot of stuff there that just needs to be remembered.
Yeah.
What's your take in terms of, in terms of where businesses need to can use technology to make sure things aren't forgotten. Because actually, from a service point of view, yes, service sometimes has been about being really nice and really friendly and giving great advice. But actually, a big thing that's sometimes forgotten about service is about being really organized, really thorough, and not forgetting things, isn't it?
Yeah, and audit trails are big. Audit trails and notifications and reminders are as simple and as ancient as they may seem, especially to Jake, who's doing much more advanced stuff than we are. Are the simplest way to do it. We work a lot in the finance sector, so we work with accountants, so we work with asset finance, and we work with the insurance world. And in all of those worlds, the simplest measures to put in place are: know exactly who clicked what and when. Make sure if there's a job to do, it's always recorded, it's diarized, and there's going to be notification, and never lose anything. So attach all the documents for a matter. So a matter can be an insurance claim or an asset finance application or someone's corporation's tax return. That's just a matter management. And to make sure that in setting up a matter for a client, everything is recorded, and everything you need to run that file, close that file, and then ultimately invoice that file is all in one place for you. So if you were an accountancy that needed to do, 15 corporations tax returns this week, it would be great, wouldn't it, if 9 months ago your system went off and looked at the company's house database through the API that's available and then built those jobs for you so you didn't have to, and so you never missed a date. If you're in the insurance world and you've had someone who's had a fire at home and they're in a hotel for 9 months whilst their home's being rebuilt, wouldn't it be great if you knew 8 weeks before they were due to check out to go and ask the builders to make sure the roof was on? All those sorts of things are really hard to do if you've got many, many thousands of them going on and a call center of 30 people trying to do it. It's difficult. So simple, effective record keeping, audit trail is the most important thing, I think, for most of those matters.
No, absolutely. And just in terms of really, and I'm going to stay with you, Andy, if that's okay. And I'm sure James and Jake will be keen to jump in. But what is that process of really mapping out your business? Because I think that maybe that question does sound really obvious, but I think we see so many businesses who can be, in a polite word, chaotic, and don't map out that simplicity of actually, what do they need to do? What is that process of mapping out? And what are some of the things for maybe our listeners to think about here?
It's really analog. It's done on a whiteboard mostly at the client site. Let's look at asset finance for a start. You know, someone phones up the call center and need £50,000 for a new milling machine in their engineering business. In the end, you've got to pay that money out, but there's going to be financial fact finds, audited accounts to be reviewed. We need to see your bank details and your bank account. We need to do all sorts of referencing. So that's massive. In our world, there's up to 20 steps between I need a loan to pay out of your loan. Mm-hmm. So the best way to do that is analog. It's sit down and listen to the senior people in the teams and get everyone around the table and write, oh, you do this and you collect that. That's step one. Oh, and you do this and that's step two. And that's how I do it. I write it out. Sometimes I have my Plaud AI listener, Jake, out there listening to what I'm doing, and then it writes the notes for me. But mostly it's very, very analog. And then we come back and we take that workflow and we digitize it. But it's just getting them to vocalize what they do. Because it's really interesting when you get teams to say what they do, because teams sitting next to them say, you do that? I didn't know you did that. That's great that you do that. Imagine if you didn't have to do that. And that's when you simplify and streamline a workflow.
Really, really interesting.
It's that's the best part of my job.
Absolutely. And you do a great job of it as well. Jake, what's your take on this? Where does AI fit in?
It's Andy is spot on the money there. It's very analog. And I also love a recording as well. So if a task takes quite a long time, I love to get the person to screen record what they're actually doing, because it often involves about four or five spreadsheets and moving data between the two that they don't realize that they're doing, but they do it without making note of it. I think that's really powerful as well. And also, because a lot of AI automation comes from reporting, they're the quick wins, to be honest, it's figuring out what the decision maker is looking at the report, and what do they actually get from that report? Like, what does it do for you, and what decisions do you make off the back of that? Do you then investigate it? Do you then raise it to a team? Like, what is the point of the process, and what is the point of the report? And then once you figure that out, then I often follow Andy's process as well, as like just mapping it out in analog steps from the top backwards, from that decision backwards, until you get to where the data or the person or the process originates from.
No, really interesting. And James, I think one of the things that sometimes is a fear with technology, and it's a wrong fear if it's used properly, isn't it? But is that, I guess, level of professionalism or intimacy. You know, we've all seen the posts on LinkedIn that have got loads of the long hyphens on them, because everyone knows that's then written on ChatGPT or similar. How do we ensure that from an outward point of view, our businesses are looking really professional to our prospects when we're sending them emails and putting stuff on socials, but actually we're using the great, you know, insight that Andy, Jake and yourself have shared already? What can you do there?
So ChatGPT is very good at writing stuff. And if you just let it go off and write stuff, it will put hyphens in, it probably won't sound like you. And it's quite likely at the moment to get things wrong. AI shouldn't be used to replace you. If you're an expert posting to LinkedIn about a subject like IT, you need to make sure that you stand by every single word you post, and it's written in a way that it sounds like you. Now, in terms of tone of voice, you can now, using some of the more advanced features in ChatGPT, you can now train it on your tone of voice. It's very good at putting these long hyphens in, but if there are long hyphens throughout text, to me that says someone hasn't really been through it and edited it. I think, you know, if you had a human writer write for you and you were posting it on your LinkedIn, would you not check the work and check it right first? And if you're getting content, blog posts, etc., about a subject that you're an expert on, you've got to make sure that the content is technically and factually correct, just like any good editor would. But on the plus side, you can use AI and other tech to massively speed up your workflow. You can get the bare bones of a letter in place, and then you might have to change one or two words. You can save hours and hours and hours, and it's a huge productivity boost when it's used in the right way. But at the moment, it's not good enough to just go off and be you, although it's getting very close in some ways.
No, amazing. James, I am going to give you the third short straw. So as with Andy and Jake, they've set a high bar from a song choice point of view, haven't they? So what's your song choice and why have you picked it?
So I absolutely love live music and going to festivals. And I was fortunate enough to be at Wychwood Music Festival with Get Radio. And one of the standout performers acts there was Lucy Spraggan. So let's hear Unsinkable by Lucy Spraggan.
Interviewing Oxfordshire's business leaders. This is the Business Brunch Podcast, sponsored by the Oxford Business Community Network. Build relationships with the ultimate goal of growing your business. obcn.co.uk.
Welcome back to the Business Brunch here on Get Radio. As well as being great tech people, they're also great musicians, aren't they, with their song choices this morning. If you are just tuning in, we're joined by three absolute local experts who have kindly agreed to share their time and their expertise with you, the listener. And I'm sure you've got notepads full already with great ideas for you to go and implement in your own business. Before that song, we're really talking about that, I guess, kind of professionalism whilst using technology. And Jake, it'd be interesting to come across to you and gain kind of your thoughts on the points that Andy and James were making there.
I think you have to think about, for your personal brand and for your business brand, what is important, because it's now easier than ever to produce AI generated content. I'm sure your email inboxes are full of a load of rubbish that's been generated by ChatGPT or Claude or another AI model. So actually, people, when they're seeing this content, they're training their brains on reviewing it and identifying if it's ChatGPT or AI generated because of the structure. Less so more about the long hyphens now, it's actually about the structure, the lists, the way it's written. And if you're presenting yourself as an expert or in trying to increase your personal brand, it's really important that it is personal and it is about your business. And it's something that people aren't going to associate with AI, because they know that it's being written by a person, because you've gone to that extra length and that extra step to do it yourself. And it's important that we still use our brains, what's important, because we shouldn't lose that way of critical thinking and writing and being creative as well. And again, it kind of goes back to what is important for you and what is important for your business. Do you want to be associated as the guy that posts AI content on LinkedIn or sends 50,000 emails in an AI generated format that nobody reads? What is it for you and your business? And I think that's really important.
No, I couldn't agree more. Absolutely couldn't agree more. And Andy, I think that Jake made a sub point there that I think is really interesting to gauge your thoughts on, in terms of it's really important we keep using our brains. I know that you're very people focused, but also I think that sometimes with technology, particularly when we're buying a SaaS product, we are in some ways beholden to that company. You know, from personal experience, I'm gonna you know, have a mini rant and plug here. We as a business always like to, if we can, use a small independent business that's local to us. We will always look at the small option, and it was a business decision that we made that fits with our mission statement. So for our first 9 years in business, we were using a small independent, couple of guys who had built a recruitment CRM and was great. We then moved to one of the big players when that business decided to close, and the costs have gone up 3 times in a very short period of time, and very significantly. Their service isn't great, and actually they're trying to move their business model, and actually we've got a lot of data that we care about there. So one of the things you can do to stop that is you can have ownership of your own system. Talk to me about it, what are the benefits of owning your own system, and how you build a system that is adaptable to your business in 10 years time from a scalability point of view?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, if you have a piece of software built for you, it does become an item on your asset register. If you are looking to scale and sell your business, you know, you've got your client list and you've got the building that you own, and you've got the people that you're going to sell with it, and all of the IP that goes with it. And if you own the business brain as well, it becomes an asset on your register. It's very important, I think, for people to remember that if your SaaS bill is, I mean, I was with a company the other day, their SaaS bill is £90,000 a year. And you're sort of a bit beholden to those giants staying on a steady course for you, so that what you're used to using every day and what you rely upon for your business processes is still there, because just one, you know, investment away from just going off into some crazy stratosphere and doing something else, you know, and you don't own anything. I don't know how you would extract your data out of some of those things and use and have it be useful elsewhere. That's the problem. My clients just like having it on their asset register. They just love it. And then the other advantage is scalability. It's modular, what we build, and what is not just us. All bespoke software is modular. So you can go to them with it. You can go to your supplier of bespoke software and you can immediately say, this is great, but now I need client login and they need to do this specific thing every evening whilst we're working on their case. That's a modular build. It's, you know, 4 or 5 days work. You get an invoice for 4 or 5 days hours, and then you've got a new module on your software and it can scale as your ideas evolve. I think that's, you know, some of the win that goes with thinking outside of buying it at £15 a month per seat. You've got 30-seat call center, that stuff adds up.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And James, this scalability is a good time to bring you in, because I know that as a firm, you work with a number of scaling businesses in the biotech space as well. And I think that within that space, there is a lot of spin outs. There's a lot of funding. There's a lot of funding rounds, and you can lose your investment. So some of those organizations go from 1 to 200 in a very short period of time, but then back to 50 and then up. How can you have your IT infrastructure to be dynamic and enable that change? And the laptop that you would sell me, which you've always sold my laptops over the last 11 years, how do you plan for the future in terms of a business plan?
So there are solutions where you can rent hardware, but realistically, unless it's really short term, and often rental services don't really work out for the really really short term, it's going to be cheaper to buy hardware. Now, some software as a service is pretty good, and it's good value. So one example would be Microsoft 365. A lot of what you can buy from Microsoft is very cost effective. You couldn't host it on your own infrastructure for less money. And when you have software as a service, like Microsoft 365, you can scale very quickly. And providing you get the right type of licenses that don't lock you in for the long term, you can scale back as well. But as Andy was saying, you know, that there are, you know, where do you stop with your monthly subscriptions? And when you're looking at other systems, the cost can ramp up pretty quickly. Now, Andy's the expert here in terms of having your custom software written, but having the right software in place, whether it is software as a service or custom written, that can scale with you. And if you reduce back down, well, you've already spent the money on it. So there's no ongoing cost. So it could work out very well for that solution. So it's about looking at how quickly you want to scale and what your monthly costs are going to be. Moving everything to the cloud, if you have custom applications and bits and pieces that won't run in a sort of standard Microsoft 365 environment, can get incredibly expensive. And there's actually a number of larger enterprises moving workloads back from cloud hosting providers to on-premise solutions. So it's a case of looking at everything the business needs and making sure that the IT strategy delivers. And you get the right mix. You have a hybrid. You buy software as a service where it's important to have it in the cloud and it's cost effective. And you have the rest of your infrastructure on premise or with a smaller provider, making sure that everything is fast, secure, and great value for money.
That's really good advice. What's your take, Andy?
Well, it's brilliant. Well, I love that. James is just saying he's 100% right. 100%. Interestingly, we've just done our first, well, we work for a big company and they're an Office 365 organization, and loving the security and all the bits and pieces that James has just highlighted there that goes with it. And so we had to do our very first sort of enterprise integration of a bespoke that used Microsoft. It's called Entra, isn't it, James? The security piece of as part of the suite.
Yes, it's Entra ID, the directory services.
Yeah, so we now attach or we now configure our bespoke solutions to work with Entra ID so that when the corporate that we worked for logs in the morning, it's using that security to get onto what they've had built bespoke. And in a way, sort of assimilating our way into their world a little tiny bit, because it all feels a little bit more streamlined. And I think what you were saying, James, is important. You know, you need both. You need to look at it all. And God, you can do a lot with Office 365. You know, it's incredible. So it's, you know, there's a lot out there that you can benefit from just using what's off the shelf as well.
Amazing. God, you guys are clever. You're really clever. And I'm sure our guests are going to have a very full notepad. We have almost run out of time. We're very, very much almost at the end of the show. But one of the things I love to leave our guests with, and you've given loads of tips already, is just leave them a lasting tip. Whether it be something we've already spoken about and you would love them to get the highlighter out and highlight that and remember that, or whether it be something we've not said. And it'd be great if you could come from your own angle. So, Jake, I'm going to pick on you first, if that's okay. If you were to leave the Oxfordshire business owner listening at home or in their office now with a lasting tip, what would be the tip you'd like them to remember?
Don't buy AI. Map out your processes first and make sure you truly understand where it's going to add value. Because if you don't understand that, you're going to add AI onto something that's already complex. It's going to become more complex, and then you're stuck with that. So really do map out those processes first if you can.
Amazing. Great advice. What about yourself, Andy?
Don't buy software. Definitely. What Jake said, map it out first. Don't buy the first shiny thing that comes across your desk. You'll spend an awful lot of your life moving from one thing to another if you haven't done the thinking up front.
Amazing. And last but not least, James.
Keep an eye out on what's happening in your industry. What are your competitors doing? And speak to an expert. Make sure that you are ready to embrace the right AI tech in your business. But with the help of an expert, you don't have to go and waste money on as many subscriptions as I might have, because I'm doing a huge amount of research. So our clients don't have to. Make sure you do it safely. Really think about what you're doing with your data, how sensitive the data is, and where it's going, and make sure that you have the right policies in place to make sure that data is kept secure.
Amazing. Amazing. What a way to end the show with such great tips there. So thank you so much, the three of you, for being so honest and sharing so much expertise with our listeners. If you are just tuning in, I would absolutely recommend following these three great professionals. Have a look at their website, have a look at them on LinkedIn, and you'll be having some great insight there. So we've had James Craddock of Get Support IT Services, Jake Holmes of Grow Fast, and Andy Holt of OSX Limited. Great businesses. That is the end of the show, and we are going to be back next week with actually a solo guest next week. We're joined by Susie Besson of 180, who, for those regular watchers of the Oxfordshire Business Awards, they won Business of the Year, also Employer of the Year, and have done some really, really, really great work to a number of young people all across Oxfordshire, and I know that Get Radio have supported them greatly as well, so be sure to listen out for that. Finally, just a reminder, you can listen to this radio show with me and some wonderful guests every Sunday on the radio at 11 a.m. or also online. There is also a great podcast version which comes out on every major podcast platform on the Monday morning, and do look out for the Get Radio Facebook page and the website every Tuesday if you'd like to see my lovely guests. But for now, whatever you're doing in Oxfordshire, whatever you're doing in your business, enjoy, and we'll see you next week.